All right, happy Father's Day to the fathers. I hope you've been spoiled today or this morning or maybe later on for lunch or dinner, hopefully. It's always a wonderful time to remember fathers. I think it's so important. You know how much I value family, and I value fatherhood. I praise God that He's allowed me to have 12 children. Each one of those are special to us. They're all a blessing. Being a father's not easy. You're the leader of your household. You're the head of the wife, and you know you've got to instruct your children. And when we look at Matthew chapter 5, look at how it just ends there in verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And so when I think about fathers, I often think about God our Father, God our Heavenly Father. And the Bible tells me that God the Father is perfect. And the standard by which we are to live is by that same standard of perfection. And that's a very hard standard to live. And I know that is a standard that we are all to live by. But of course, the word perfect here does not mean sinless, because that is a very difficult milestone to reach. We will not be sinless until we go to heaven to be with our Lord, because we still battle with the flesh every single day of our lives. But of course, the word perfect means complete, entire, whole, without missing any essential elements of our Christian walk. And so what I wanted to do this morning is to think of God the Father and set Him as the example that we as fathers are all to follow, but also I want to also give some instruction to our children how we are to glorify our fathers. Because here it says in Matthew 5:16, look at Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Title for the sermon, as I said, is glorify your Father, glorify your Father. Now, of course, we're talking about God the Father here, but the reason we have Father's Day is to glorify fathers, to uphold fatherhood. And one way that we can glorify our Heavenly Father is to do our good works, right? As we learn the Bible, as we absorb His Word, as we increase in holiness, and we be more like His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are glorifying our Father by our good works. Well, when I think about our earthly children and today's Father's Day, we ought to glorify our fathers. How can we honor and glorify our fathers? With good works as well, in the same manner, we should glorify. And of course, you know, any godly father or mother is, you know, as children are growing, instructing our children in to do what is right, to do that which is well, that is well-pleasing, that which is good, and not to do wickedness, not to commit sins. And children, one sure way to glorify your fathers today and to glorify your fathers every day of your life is to do what is right, to do what is good. You know, as fathers, when we see our children doing what is right and well, it gives us a lot of joy, doesn't it? And when we see our children do that which is wicked, it gives us a lot of sadness and sorrow. And so, you know, this Father's Day, make it your effort, children, to do that which is right and glorify your Father. And we ought to not just glorify our earthly fathers, we're also thinking about how we ought to glorify, of course, our Heavenly Father. If we just get the context of verse number 16, let's look at verse number 14 from there, Matthew 5:14. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And so we're talking about being light. We are the light of the world. Then it continues, verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So what is the light that we are to shine? Our good works. We are the light of the world as Christians. We ought to be Christ-like. We ought to live like Christ. We ought to show the light of Christ in this dark world. And we do that, and we stand out, and people in the darkness see us that we're different. We're of the light and not of the darkness. The Bible tells me this glorifies our Father in heaven. And so, as I said, the title of the sermon this morning is Glorify Your Father. And I'm using a bit of a play on words here. Yes, I want to glorify our Heavenly Father, but children, I want you to think about how you can glorify your earthly fathers today. So follow the instructions that they've given you. You know, children, if you've not told your fathers Happy Father's Day, tell him, glorify him, honor him for his role that he has in your life. Say, my father doesn't live here. I don't know. Well, give him a call. send him an email, right? Give him a call. That's much better than sending an email, right? Yeah, give him a call, right? If you get a hold of your father, even though you may say, well, my father's not really there in my life. He's not, you know, he's not been the best father. Yeah, but he's the father that you've been given. And if you can reach out to him and just honor his office, you know, he might find it a bit unusual. Why is this estranged child calling me up on Father's Day to glorify and honor me? And who knows, that might open his heart for you to explain, well, I come to glorify my Heavenly Father. And as I glorify my Heavenly Father, I'm doing my good works. I'm shining the light that I am. And I am to glorify my earthly father as well as a result of that. So that may open the door for your earthly father who might be estranged, who may not be even a believer, might not be a Christian, to come to know the Lord God as his Savior. If we drop down in the same chapter there in Matthew 5, 43, it says, ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. If shining a light in this dark world is to do good works, what's another way we can glorify the Father? By doing good to our enemies. Wow, that's always a hard one, isn't it? It continues, this is why, verse number 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Wow, we want to glorify our Father. We want to be known as the children of the Heavenly Father. We are to do good to our enemies. Not just to love your neighbor, but to do good to your enemies. You know, children, I'm talking to the earthly children here. One thing that's going to give your earthly fathers a lot of joy is to see how you conduct yourself in your character. You know, yes, to do good to your neighbor, to think of others, to be sacrificial, not to be selfish, but to be selfless. But also, children, you know, as much as mom and dad will try to prevent you from getting involved in arguments and fights and conflicts, that is the reality of the world that happens. Okay, but you know what's going to give your parents a lot of joy? When they see you doing your best toward your enemy. When you're trying to do good toward your enemy. When you reach out to those that are causing you conflicts and arguments and you still show them love and you still do them good. You know what that demonstrates to your parents? That you have great character. That you've learned these skills and qualities that are very unknown to man. Usually very unknown to man. It's very natural to hate your enemy. It's very natural to do wrong to those that have done wrong to you. But one thing that will give great joy to your fathers is to do good to your enemies. Show good character about yourself. Dust yourself off. Pick yourself up. All right? And continue doing that which is right, regardless of what everyone else in this dark world is doing. It says in verse number 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, well-rounded, all right? Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, there's the command. We are to be perfect. One way to be perfect is to love our enemies. If you're lacking in this area of life, you're not being perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect, and you're not glorifying the Father in this area of your life. But I want you to notice that. You say, well, what benefit is there? It's so hard to love and to do good unto my enemies. But verse number 46 says, if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? You know, God's going to give you heavenly rewards for doing good to your enemies. That's worth it, brethren. Rewards in heaven. You know, they last for all eternity. Like I said, the title for the sermon this morning is Glorify Your Father, though that is not so much the emphasis of my sermon. It's only my introduction. You know, I often look at the attributes of God the Father, because he is the best father of all, and he makes no mistakes, and I make plenty of mistakes. Dads, you too, right? Like, which dad never makes a mistake? Okay, good. All right. We're on the same page, right? And so it's good to look at a father that never makes mistakes, and that's, of course, the only one is the Heavenly Father. And so he ought to be our example of how we ought to be fathers to our children, to those that God has put us under. And so I really, for the study this morning, I've looked at the references of God where it says, the Father of. God the Father, the Father of. Father of what? And what does that mean? And how can I be a little bit more like my Heavenly Father if I compare my life to the attributes that I read about Him in the Word? So we're going to turn away from Matthew 5 and come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, if you're not sure what it means to glorify or to give glory, it means to honor with great praise, distinction, or admiration. To honor with great praise, distinction, or admiration. That's the point of Father's Day. To honor fathers with praise, distinction, and admiration. Children, do you admire your father? You say, Pastor, you don't get it. My dad makes mistakes and he's got cracks and he's got problems. Yeah, so does every father on this earth. But it's a father that God has given you. And this is your chance to honor him, at least for playing a role in giving, you know, you life. I mean, being your biological father, at the very least, he's done that for you. He's given you life. Well, let's talk about the Father of glory here in Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of glory. We know we are to glorify our Father. But you know, our Father, our Heavenly Father, also bestows glory upon us. In fact, we're about to read what that glory is. Now, He is a Father of glory in that He's glorious in of Himself. But He doesn't retain that glory. He wants to pass it on to others. You say, well, how does He show His glory toward us? Well, it says here, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. One way that God bestows His glory upon us as His children is to give us a spirit of wisdom and the revelation of knowledge of Him. So as we are saved and we've trusted Christ as our Savior, and now we're trying to live that Christian life, what God is trying to do in our lives is to pass on wisdom, to pass on knowledge. Was it last week that I preached on to be wise as serpents? I already covered that topic a little bit. But one way that God bestows His glory upon us is to pass on wisdom, to pass on knowledge. Now, earthly fathers, you know, that is your responsibility to your children, to pass on what you've learned. You know, we've lived, I'm 40, I'm in my 40s, so I've lived some 40 years of life. I've got 40 years of experience. I've got 40 years of knowledge. I've got 40 years of growth. I've got 40 years of making mistakes and trying to fix them. And instead of waiting for my kids to have the same knowledge after they're 40 years old, hey, you know what? I can bestow that upon them right now. That gives glory. That passes some glory that I have onto the children that God has given me. Fathers, are you teaching your children how to live their lives? You know, how to choose between what is good and what is evil? Are you showing them the right way to live their lives with great wisdom and knowledge? And knowledge of Him, knowledge of our Heavenly Father. Are we teaching them great truths of the Bible? Are we introducing them to the God of the universe? It continues in verse number 18, not just the wisdom and the knowledge, it says, verse number 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God gives us a greater understanding. He opens our eyes to the wisdom and knowledge found in His Word. Look at this. That ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and look at this, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So let's break that down a little bit there, that you may know the hope of His calling. You know, according to God, we have a calling. We have a purpose, okay? We're created with purpose and a plan. God wants to work in us so we can be more like Christ. God is equipping us so we can give Him glory in return with all the knowledge and understanding that He's given us, the great wisdom that He's given us. And the end result of that is what it said at the end of verse number 18, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You see, as saints, God has an inheritance for us. And this is a glory that He wants to give to His children, to His saints. And so as we live lives, and again, you say, look, sometimes when we try to do what is good, and it's very hard to do what is good sometimes, to choose the right way rather than the wrong way. Sometimes in your mind, why don't I just give in to the wrong way once in a while? I mean, everyone else in the world seems to get by, and they're okay doing that, which is wrong. So why can't I just do a little bit, dabble a little bit in what is wrong? The reason is because God's got a great inheritance lined up for us in heaven. A great glory lined up that is going to be found in us as we work out the wisdom and knowledge that God has instructed with us. He's going to pass on that inheritance. And the Bible tells us that we're joint heirs with Christ. I mean, that is glorious. That's amazing that God will give everything that, but that's what inheritance is, right? If I were to pass away, whatever earthly possessions I have is going to be bestowed upon my children, okay? But here's the thing, like I've got 12 kids, so therefore my poor kids are only going to get a 12th of whatever there is. But here's the thing with the inheritance that our Heavenly Father gives us, we're joint heirs. We get 100% of what Jesus Christ gets given. 100% of the inheritance that Christ receives from His Heavenly Father, we receive that because we're joint heirs with, not separate heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And this is a great glory. So we ought to be living for what? We ought to be living for heaven. We ought to be living for eternity. We ought to have a spiritual mindset of the lives that we live rather than just chasing carnal goods and carnal possessions. So fathers, the challenge there is, are you a father of glory as well? Do you pass on what you have to your children? I'm not talking about earthly possessions here. I'm talking about the experiences, the great truths of God's word, what you've learned in life. You know, have you taught your children how to avoid making the mistakes that we all have made? Does that mean our children never make mistakes? Of course they will, because they're sinful creatures like anybody else. But we ought to be passing that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding, and lightening the eyes of our children so they may know greater truths of God's word. It continues in verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power, look at this, to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So I want you to remember this, that it's the working of God's mighty power that gives us the wisdom by which we are to live by as we look forward to the inheritance that we have for us in heaven. And the reason I want to talk about that is because it's God's power that gives the ability to work for Him, okay? We teach this a lot, right? We're not depending on our own strength, our own flesh, because we are so limited. You know, if we're going to serve the Lord the way we ought to, we know that it comes from His power, His ability to enable us to do something great for Him. When I think about that, I think about my responsibility as an earthly father to make sure especially my sons, as they continue to grow, is that they would have a direction in life. That I would help them explore the options that are out there, that we can look at their own personality and their own passions and their own strengths and weaknesses and determine, hey, son, you know, this might be a good course to study. This might be a good job to get yourself into. You know, this might be one way for you to walk in your future to make sure you can provide for yourself and have a good job to take care of a family and that one day you too can be a father of a great example. So, you know, fathers, we have a lot of responsibilities to teach and to guide, direct our children, to give them the power, the ability, the know-how to further themselves and do something great for themselves in their lives. I'm talking both spiritually and also the needs to one day find a wife, get married, and be a father themselves. All of these things, like we see, the Father of Glory passes this on to us. And so we ought to be equipping our children as well. If you can come with me to Psalm 68. The Psalm 68, please, Psalm 68. I've got five qualities of God the Father. And the first one we looked at was that He is the Father of glory. He's the Father of glory. Now we're turning to Psalm 68 and verse number 4. Psalm 68 and verse number 4. Psalm 68 and verse number 4. The Bible reads, sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name Jah, and rejoice before Him. Look at verse number 5. A father of the fatherless, a father of the fatherless. Our God is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. Is God in his holy habitation. Verse number 6 says, he setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. A father of the father. I love this quality about our Lord God. Of course, the first application of this is a potential orphan, right? Someone who may not have parents or someone who may not have a father. Maybe their father has passed away. Or maybe they've got a father that they've never met in their lives, right? And, you know, when it's very well researched, very well documented, that when a child is born or lives a life without a father, that they often they're more likely to end up in poverty, they're more likely to end up being drug addicted, they're more likely to have their own broken homes, and they're even more likely to end up in prison. Children that grow up without fathers. I'm not saying they all do. It's just well documented that they're more likely to get themselves into a bad place in their lives without directions of their father. And it's a really sad place to be. I'm thankful that I was born in a Christian home and I got a great father. Love him very much. And I'm very thankful that I'm still around for my children, right? That the Lord has preserved my life, that my children are not fatherless, and that I can be an influence in their lives. But some people don't have that privilege. Some people, like I said, did not know their father. Maybe their father's passed away. Maybe they're an orphan. Maybe they're a bastard child, right? Mother and father never got married and they don't even know who their father is. But what I love about this wonderful truth is that our Father, our God the Father, is the Father of the fatherless. So truly, every person here ought to be able to celebrate Father's Day. Even if it's not an earthly father, you have the Father, the Heavenly Father of the fatherless. Now, if you haven't got an earthly father, say Happy Father's Day. To say it to our Heavenly Father. Say it to our Lord God Almighty, Happy Father's Day. Thank you for being a father to the fatherless. That's, of course, the first application. You know, an orphan, a bastard child, something along those lines. But we can take this and apply this in other ways. Because it says in verse number 6, God setteth the solitary in families. You know, God wants us to operate with families. He doesn't want us to be alone. He doesn't want us to be solitary. You know that? Like, you know, when God created Adam, he said it's not good for a man to be alone. So he made Eve. God wants us to operate as families. You know, it's my heart's desire that my children would be in our family until they're ready to start their own families. You know, it's not good to be solitary. But, you know, we see the example here that God is always looking out for those that are alone and is trying to find them a family to get plugged into. Now, there are many ways that this can be done. For example, maybe there's a widowed mother, you know, and she's got children. The Lord God may very well lead that widowed mother to find another man, a stepfather for the children, something like that. You know, that is definitely a blessing of the Lord. It could be that that child maybe did not have a great house. Maybe they grew up in a broken home. Maybe they don't really have a good relationship with their father or their mother. And God may allow that child to find the perfect spouse for their life, to get married into and be part of a family. And you know, one of the sad realities is if you grow up in a broken home, it's very likely that your home will also be broken. But you know what? With our Heavenly Father helping us, equipping us, passing on His glory and His wisdom and His knowledge, okay? Being a father can be learnt by God's Word. Being a father can be learnt by examining God the Father and following the same qualities and characteristics that He has. And even a fatherless person can be a great father if they follow the example of God their Father. God can answer this in many, many different ways. You know, a fatherless child, like I said, could just get married themselves and start a new family. But also the spiritual application, of course, is the moment that you make Jesus Christ your Savior, you are born as a child of God and our Heavenly Father becomes your Father. And of course, amongst believers, amongst the church this morning, we have brothers and sisters. Isn't that what we call each other? Brothers and sisters in the Lord. Not physically, but spiritually. This is a family. This is a church family. And all other brothers that we might meet along the way in our journey of life, that's a family that God has put us into. You might be the only saved person in your household. And it is a sad thing when you realize that the rest of my family are not saved. But you know what? God's given you a spiritual family. God's given you a church to get plugged into and feel like, hey, I belong somewhere. People love me. People care about me. That's what a family is supposed to be. And that's what New Life Baptist Church is supposed to be, a place that we can find a family. So our Lord God is a father of the fatherless as well. Can you come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So our Heavenly Father is the Father of glory. He's also a father of the fatherless. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this is probably my favorite out of all of them. Okay, verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible reads, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." I love that. The Father of mercies. The reason that's my favorite is because I need His mercy. I need God's mercy. Oh boy, I need His mercy. Because I, you know, man, as much as I've been trying to live that Christian life and following His commandments, still messing up. You too. Did you know that? You too. And man, I'm so thankful that our God's just wipe us out as soon as we do wrong. I'm so glad that He's slow to anger. I'm so glad that He's a Father of mercy. Mercy. If you don't know what mercy really means, it means to be, it's compassionate forbearance of an offender. Compassionate forbearance of an offender. It means we offend our Father. And He's not so quick to judge us immediately. He gives us time to repent. He gives us time to get things right. And He does that out of compassion. He forbears. He puts up with us. Okay, because He knows what we are. He knows that we make mistakes. We offend. And so when I think about the Lord God as a Father of mercy, I need to also consider that as a father, guess what? My children are going to offend. My children are going to break the rules in the house. And there's nothing wrong with chastisement. There's nothing wrong with correction. There's nothing wrong with a bit of a sharp rebuke. There's nothing wrong with the rod of correction if that needs to come out. But one sure, and look, if you're not doing that, you'll miss an important part of fatherhood. But there's also the need to have mercy, the need to show compassion, the need to forbear, to put up with and understand that your children are going to mess up sometimes, just like you've messed up toward God. And He has shown you mercy so many, so many times. A Father of mercy. So what I also love about that, and you can see the Father of mercy, and then it says, and the God of all comfort. So not only does He forbear, not only does He put up with us, but He also comforts us. Okay? And He's saying, in what sense? Well, if you continue in verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that's all our troubles, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know how God is teaching us, He's directing us? The reason God gives us comfort, says here, during our tribulations, is so we can comfort others when they go through tribulation. We pass on the comfort that God's given us when we've had hardships, and then when we see a brother or sister in the Lord having a hard time, we come alongside them and say, you know what? Reach out to God. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of mercy. He has shown me mercy. He's shown me comfort. Let me show you some comfort. Let me show you some mercy as well through the difficulties that you're going through. Tribulations. You know, as people that commit sin, as people that do wrong, many times tribulations are just self-owned. Like we've done wrong and we've just reaped what we sowed. It's just come back to us in a certain way. And, you know, one thing that I've had to learn as a father, and I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect at this stage, is that understanding the difference when a child has done wrong, and maybe they're a bit rebellious about it, maybe they're digging their heels in, and being argumentative or talking back or refusing to admit they're wrong. And that's a time to rebuke. That is a time to bring that rod of correction if needed. And to chastise. You know, that is a time to do such an action. But there are times that a child will misbehave, will do wrong, and they suffer the consequences for their mistake. For example, you might tell a little child, you know, don't touch the stove, right? Don't touch the kettle, it's hot. And the little child goes, all right, you know, and goes and touches the stove, touches the kettle or something like that, and they get burnt. Okay, they suffer tribulation. They suffer pain. You know, I've learned that's not the time to rebuke them. That's the time to show them mercy. They've already learnt their lesson with the pain that they've brought upon themselves. Now, you can softly correct, of course. But usually at that point in time when the little child's running and they've got some damage that they've done to themselves because they didn't listen to mum and dad, that's a time to show mercy and comfort, obviously. Right? Comfort, and let's heal that wound, right? Let's fix the problem. And so that's generally how I try to be one or the other. You know, if there is need for sharp rebuke, I'll do it. But if I feel that my child has learnt their lesson, they've suffered their own anguish by the mistakes that they've made, or they're humble enough to come to dad and say, dad, I messed up, before I find out, right? They, you know, first to admit their mistake before I have to call it out, then I want to be that father of mercy. I want to be like my Heavenly Father, because, I'm sure there are times that probably needed the rod and He showed me compassion instead. He showed me mercy instead. He showed me comfort instead. And look, I'm not saying that if you show the rebuke, if you need to rebuke and the rod of correction, all that, I'm not saying that's void of mercy and comfort. No, bring that and then give them the comfort, give them the compassion, show them the love, and let's move on from that, right? We've learnt the mistake, we've learnt we've learnt the lesson, right? We fixed the mistake. Now let's move on with it. Let's forget about it. Let's get on with it. Don't worry about the rest of what's happened in the past. Let's rejoice. Let's show mercy. Let's show compassion. You know, we see two sides of God. We know that He can be very sharp. We know that He can be very wrathful. We know that He's angry at the wicked every day. But we also know the qualities of His mercy and compassion and comfort. And as fathers, we need to learn that. We can't just be all one way and then all the other way, just mercy all the time. Just mercy, mercy, mercy. Your children aren't going to learn anything. Or just rebuke, 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 rebuke. Your children are going to hate you. Okay, they're going to grow up rebellious. You need the mix of both of these qualities. And so our Heavenly Father is known as the Father of mercies, the Father of mercies. If we continue in that verse, actually, let's keep reading a little bit there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's continue reading verse number 5. It says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Just very quickly, quick summary of that. The Bible is saying here that whatever we suffer, like if we suffer greatly, then we're going to receive a great amount of mercy and comfort in return. Okay, God will always make sure it's balanced. You know, because we all have different levels of sufferings. We all have we've made different mistakes in life. You know, sometimes by our own sins, sometimes we've suffered tribulation simply for standing for Christ, just simply for being righteous. Well, our Heavenly Father makes sure that whatever comfort and consolation is needed, it's measured to the same amount of suffering and persecution that you've suffered. That's how Heavenly Father has got the right balance all the time. You know, some people might say, well, you don't understand, Pastor, you've grown up in a Christian home. I've had a worse life. I've suffered much more than you. Yeah, you may have suffered much more, but then you also have the blessing of the greater comforts. You've suffered more, but you've also been comforted more by our Heavenly Father. He knows the exact measure that is needed for your life to show you mercy, to show you comfort. So that's our Father of mercies. Can you come with me to Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 9. He's the Father of glory. He's the Father of fatherless, of the fatherless, and he's the Father of mercies. Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, and this kind of continues the same thought a little bit with what we read there in 2 Corinthians. But in Hebrews 12, 9, it says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Yep, that's the right thing for fathers to correct their children. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So our Father, our Heavenly Father, was also known as what? The Father of spirits. A Father of spirits and live. Now, I'll just be honest with you guys. When I used to read this, just because, you know, when we read the Bible, we're not always focused and fully, learning every single sentence or every single point of a verse. But I used to just read about that. I used to read the Father of spirits and be like, oh, I get, what does that mean? I guess he's the Father of the angels. Even though I know our Heavenly Father is not a Father of the angels, okay? But I used to just kind of read that and go, oh, that's Father of Spirit. I guess that's talking about angels or something like that. And it's funny how you can kind of hold a view on a verse but not actually believe it. And so I don't know if it's just like a misunderstanding that I've developed over the years. I don't know if it's just a sermon that I've heard that kind of got stuck in my head and I just kind of viewed that verse in that way. But I'll show you in a moment, you know, obviously being a Father of spirits is definitely not talking about angels, but it's talking about the spirits of men. And in particular, of course, the spirits of saved men. Because an unsaved man has a dead spirit within them, that they're spiritually dead. Someone that has not trusted Christ as a Savior is spiritually dead. But the moment you put your trust on Christ alone, okay, his sacrifice alone, his death, burial, resurrection, his payment for sin, and you don't trust your works, your own abilities to be saved, you're trusting Christ alone, you're made a child of the Father. The Bible says we're born again. We're born of the Spirit. And the dead spirit that we once had is revived, and we now have a living spirit. And so when he refers to as the Father of spirits, as we continue to see, it's speaking of the spirit of man. And that's why it says in verse number 10, for they, that's the earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening of the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We know in order for us to bring forth the fruit of righteousness in our lives, in order for us to be partakers of his holiness, you know, with all the other Bible that we know that we cannot achieve that as we walk in the flesh. We can only do that by walking in the Spirit, by walking in the new man, which is that born-again spirit that God has given us. And so in light of this, when it says the Father of spirits, of course, he's talking about the Father of that new man, born again, born of God. You know, that spiritual life that we have within us, that belongs to the Father, okay? That is what makes us children of God. If you can come with me to Romans 8, please. Come with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. So like I said, the fourth reference or the fourth quality that we see of God is that he is the Father of spirits. And we know that means, of course, the Father of saved men. And so when I take this and say, how do we relate to that then as an earthly father? Well, with the children that God has given us, we understand that there's going to come a time, okay, when they're going to find themselves to be sinners before God. You know, they're going to start comprehending what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. They're going to start understanding that there's an eternity of hellfire for those that reject Christ, or an eternity of heaven for those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. And so for us fathers, for us parents, we need to, of course, teach our children the wonderful gospel message. You know, to bring them into being born again of the Spirit. That not only would our children have us as their father, they would have God the Father as their father. I like that. I like that, Dave. My children have God the Father as their father. Because as the children grow up and they become teenagers, you know what they start to notice? They start to notice the defects of the dad. I tell my daughters that, you know, you got a fat, ugly old dad. And they're like, no, dad, you're handsome and skinny and young. My daughters, they think I'm like, the best in the world. But don't worry, my daughters will be teenagers soon. And they'll start to realize all the issues that I have. And they're going to, my dad's not that wonderful after all. My dad's not that perfect after all. My dad is a bit of a hypocrite after all. They're going to start to notice the defects. But at that point, I would have expected them to have known God as their father. And instead of putting their earthly father as a standard, now their standard becomes the heavenly father, the perfect father. Okay? And the one that we're all looking to. And we can definitely say, well, Lord, I've got a lot to grow. I've got a lot to become more like Christ and become more as a father as my heavenly father is. So the takeaway from this, our father is the father of light, of spirits. And fathers, we need to teach our children the wonderful gospel message. You know, I've never forced my kids to believe on Christ. It's never been something, kids, you got to do this. Just growing up in a Christian home, even before I was a pastor, just growing up in a Christian home, going to church, hearing us talk, you know, they start to at some point go, I want to be sure I'm going to heaven too. You know, and some of the kids have gone to their siblings, older siblings. What must I do to be saved? Pretty much. And the older kids have tried to tell them because they were young themselves. And they're like, you know, you better talk to mum and dad. And, you know, praise God for the times that my wife and I have been able to give the gospel. You know, getting anybody saved is amazing. Going door to door and seeing someone saved is amazing. Going to Fiji is amazing. Philippines, seeing salvations in different places in the world is amazing. But it's more precious when your own kids call upon their Lord. It's so beautiful. You know, and now you have spiritual children. Not only are they your children now, if they're saved, that's your brother or sister in the Lord. We're now part of a spiritual family together, not just an earthly family. So I've just found that, and again, it depends from 4 to probably 7. That's been the age of my kids when they've been inquisitive and they've, what do I have to do? You know, and again, different levels of understanding, different personalities. At different ages, they've come to know Christ as their Savior. But our Father is the Father of spirits. You're there in Romans 8 and verse number 15. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So we did have the spirit of bondage, okay? But we've not received it again. You know, the moment you die, you die spiritually. You know, you're a lost sinner without Jesus as your Savior. You're in bondage. And Christ has freed us from that bondage. He says here, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba means Father. We can go to God and call Him Father. How beautiful. You know what else I learned about this is that our children ought to be able to come to Dad and say, Abba, Father. When our kids have a need, you know, they ought not to be embarrassed or afraid. And dads, we need to be open. We need to let our children know they can come to us. And sometimes they don't come to us because they probably think the chastisement's going to come. I tell my kids right now, if you come to me before any wrong, I'm going to be open and I'm going to be merciful. Because I want to see that self-reflection. Man, I've done wrong. I better tell Dad. I need some help. I better go ask Dad. There's something I need. I need to go ask Dad. Dads, that's what we're here for, to provide for our families, right? To do good unto them. Well, we can go to our Heavenly Father, we can cry out, Father. It says in verse number 16, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit, that living spirit that we now have, right? Father of spirits. It says here that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Wow, God's going to glorify us together with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven in eternity. We can cry to Him, Abba, Father. We don't have to wait for eternity. We don't have to wait for the inheritance at this point in time. We can cry to Him right now, Abba, Father. And what's good about our Heavenly Father, He knows what we need before we even ask of Him. He's waiting for us to go and ask. Why don't you ask? You know, God's like, I know what you need. Why don't you ask? And for some stubborn, prideful reason, we refuse to ask many times. I don't really understand that. The nature of man, we're kind of weird sometimes, right? But then I think about myself as a father, and I think, my kids, why don't you ask? You know, that's my role as a dad, to love and to care and to provide for my children. So I hope we can learn some great lessons here. And we got one more reference. Let's go to James chapter 1. Let's go to James chapter 1, please. So we've seen that our Heavenly Father is the Father of glory. He's a Father of the fatherless. He's the Father of mercies. He's the Father of spirits. And now we're going to turn to James 1, verse number 3. Actually, let's read verse number 17. James 1, 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." The final reference that I have, the fifth reference of Christ, of our Heavenly Father, is that he's the Father of lights. He's the Father of lights. What does that mean, the Father of light? We kind of come full circle with what we started with. We saw in Matthew 5:16 where the reading was, "Let your light so shine before men, that we are the light of the world." Well, that makes sense. If we're the light of the world, that's because our Father is the Father of lights. The Father of lights. So what do we learn about our Father of lights? It continues, "With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." You know, our Lord God is not like a gray area, a shadow of turning. Like, he's not shadowy. He's always on show. It's our Lord God is always transparent. He's always clear. His judgments are always clear in the Bible. You know, he's a God of what is right. He's a God of righteousness. He's a Father of lights. He's not a Father of darkness. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, the first thing he created was light. And the reason he created light was to separate light from darkness. So if our Lord God is a Father of lights, he's definitely not a Father of darkness, is he? He's light. And that's why we are the light of this world, because we have our Father of lights. And what I want to notice about the lights, because, you know, when God created light, he said that it is good, right? Every day that he created something, he said that it is good. And so when we understand, what does that mean, the Father of lights? Well, that's why verse number 17, let's look at it again. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." You know, when God gives us something, when he gives us gifts, it's always good and it's always perfect. Always good, light. It's not harmful to us. It's not darkness. Okay, he's a good God, a Father of lights. And he makes sure whatever he gives to us is for our good. It's a perfect gift that comes from above. Now, parents, we need to also understand that we as fathers, especially today, Father's Day, we ought to give gifts to our kids. We ought to not just give them rewards when they do right, but give them gifts. You know, the sure gifts that we always give our children, of course, is the very basic things: food, clothing, house. Okay, these are things that they don't work for. But to one, every now and again, you know, their birthdays, we give them some gift. All right, we might take them out and have a good time here or there, and we'll make sure we pay for it. There are times my kids go out and they spend their money, and I'm like, "How much did you spend?" And they tell me, I'm like, "Okay, I'll reimburse you. Here you go." I want that to be a gift from me. And we ought to be giving as fathers. But you know, one mistake that we make, at least in Western society, is that we can spoil our children with too many gifts, or gifts that are not good for them. Spoiled children. You know, you go to the supermarket and you hear some little kid screaming because they want this object, or they want the packet of chips, or they want the chocolate, and mom says no, and they're yelling and they're throwing a tantrum on the floor. It's because you've given them dark gifts. Let's put it that way. You've not been a father of lights. You've spoiled your children. They don't appreciate even the most basic gifts that you give them. Our Father is wonderful. He always makes sure that the gifts he gives us will not spoil us. They're not harmful for us. He's our Father of lights. Let's get a bit of context in verse number 13. James 1:13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." You know, if we do evil, if we do harm, if we do wickedness, we can't turn around and say, "Well, God, you made me do that." Isn't that what the Calvinists believe? That even the wickedness and the sins you commit, that was already pre-programmed by God before you were even born. truly, Calvinists believe that. Not only do they believe that God wants you to do what is right, but even the wrong, the evil, the sin that you do, God wanted you to do that as well. No, God cannot tempt us with evil. Okay, He's a Father of lights. The gifts, what He gives us, is good and perfect. Verse number 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, not the Father's lust, our own lust, and enticed. And when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't make a mistake and think God made you do that error. God made you sin. Don't err. Don't be in error in this area. That's why it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Hey, God gives us good things. Brethren, our families are a good gift. New Life Baptist Church is a good gift. You know, every brother and sister in this church who's your spiritual family is a good gift from the Father above. If you had breakfast this morning, it's a good gift. If you have jobs to go to on Monday to provide for your needs, it's a good gift. These are things that are given to us by our Father. You know what? If you were able to drive, okay, with a car to church this morning, that was a good gift, a perfect gift that came from your Father of lights. That's who our Father is. And when I think about this, I think, wow, I need to be given as a father, but I better make sure it's good and perfect for my children. I don't want to spoil them rotten. I don't want to give them wicked things, you know, to destroy their life or damage their lives. And sometimes, I don't know, you know, kids growing up in a Christian home might feel like they're missing out on things that the children of the world do. But I want you to understand, children, those things may very well be harmful for you. And your parents are trying to protect you from damaging your lives. Just like God. He's a Father of lights. He wants to make sure that what He gives you is wonderful, beautiful, perfect, pure, and good. That's what makes Him a Father of lights. I also like the reference in verse number 17. Again, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, near the shadow of turning. Like again, I said, we know who God is. He tells us in His word who He is. And fathers, we need to be able to tell our kids. They ought to know us. Like they ought to know that this pleases dad and this displeases dad. They ought to know these are the rules in the house and these are not the rules. Like, you know, this is me obeying the rules and this is me disobeying the rules. The kids ought to know with clarity, with light, how to please, how to obey mum and dad. And part of the challenge, of course, is because mum and dad, two people who are not the same, though God wants us to be one flesh, of one mind. And one thing that confuses children when they're growing up is when dad says yes and mum says no, or mum says yes and dad says no. You know, and I'm sure all parents have done this, okay, because we're not perfect. And our kids start to notice the inconsistencies. But one thing, as fathers, who's the head of the wife, we need to make sure that as a married couple, we're on the same page on everything. Okay, that it's very clear what our children expect or expected to live by. The rules and the commandments. Clarity, light, not darkness, not confusion, not shadow of turning. Which way? I don't know. You know, what did that? I don't know. I can't remember what the instructions are. We need to be, just like our Heavenly Father, we need to be a Father who is very transparent and very clear to our children. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. I wish I could say that to my children. Dad is always light. So there's no darkness. No, there's plenty of darkness in here. I'm sad about that. It's a constant battle. We're trying to be more Christ-like. But you know, children, when you're parents fail you, I want you to remember that there is a Father that you have that is always light and no darkness, and that's your Heavenly Father. You know, if you don't have clear instructions of life, open up His word and there are those clear instructions of light for you to know. That's His wonderful gift to you. That's His good and perfect gift to you, His holy word, the instructions that God has given us. The Bible also says in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Children, walk in the light that your mum and dad have passed on, the instructions, the wisdom. Glorify your father is the title for the sermon this morning. And children, one way to glorify your father, not just Happy Father's Day, but do what your dad wants you to do. Follow the directions of life that he wants you to live by. Don't disobey the commandments and instructions that are found in the house. The Bible also says in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So we as God's children are children of the light, children of the day. And what was the instruction once again? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The title for the sermon, as I said, was Glorify Your Father. So children, just being Father's Day, do your best to glorify your earthly father. And for the rest of us to walk away from a sermon that we can apply this week, let's do what we can to shine our light, to do good works, and glorify our Heavenly Father. Okay? Glorify your Father. Let's pray.